The Lord be with you.
And with
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus spoke to the crowds and to his disciples, saying, "The scribes and the Pharisees have taken their seat on the chair of Moses. Therefore, do and observe all things whatsoever they tell you, but do not follow their example. For they preach, but they do not practice. They tie up heavy burdens hard to carry and lay them on people's shoulders, but they will not lift a finger to move them. All their works are performed to be seen. They widen their phylacteries and lengthen their tassels. They love places of honor at banquets, seats of honor in synagogues, greetings in marketplaces, and the salutation, Rabbi. As for you, do not be called Rabbi. You have but one teacher, and you are all brothers. Call no one on earth your father. You have but one Father in heaven. Do not be called Master. You have but one Master, the Christ. The greatest among you must be your servant. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled, but whoever humbles himself will be exalted." The Gospel of the Lord. Good morning, everyone. Call no man father. I can't tell you how often people have brought this to me, claiming I'm being unbiblical by accepting the title of father. The reality, though, is that Christ here is using hyperbole, much in the same way he did when he said that if your eye causes you to sin, go ahead and pluck it out. But I don't see too many people walking around with only one eye, so I'm assuming we understand that he does use exaggeration at times. And so here Christ says to call no man father as a way to call out the hypocrisy of the Pharisees, who were the spiritual leaders in their time, the spiritual leaders who had the authority to teach the law, but instead of teaching it, abused their authority and didn't follow the law themselves. They set themselves up as little dictators of the spiritual life. In our own day, we have become increasingly aware of the abuse of authority among the clergy and the church. The same men who have been appointed our spiritual fathers, who have forsaken their priesthood and led countless people, countless souls out of the church because of their hypocritical actions and abuse of power and of people. That's not the way it's supposed to be. There's a standard of decorum for a cleric, and indeed for anyone with any amount of authority in the church, whether at the parish, diocesan, or global levels. The standard they're expected to follow is simple. Their standard is Jesus Christ. All people in authority are expected to act just as Christ did. Their leadership must not be one of willful pride, but of obedience to Christ, as he was obedient to the Father. Their leadership is to not be one of self-service, but of service to all as Christ was servant to all. There's a standard for clergy. There's a standard for leadership, and Christ is that standard. It's important to remember a few things, though. Deacons, priests, bishops, all of us are merely frail humans. I know, it's kind of a big concept. Your priest is a human. I know, it's interesting. We are not preserved from human weakness. We are not preserved from a desire to rule. We are not preserved from error or even sin. All of us fall short of the glory of God. I don't say this as a way to suggest that we overlook or ignore or excuse any of the frailties of our clergy, but rather as an encouragement to pray for them. Praying for their good, praying that they know, love, and serve Jesus Christ, their Lord, praying that God's will is done in their lives, praying for them each and every day. The task entrusted to the clergy is quite a large one. It is a unique share in Christ's own work in the world, and a very unique share in his authority and his leadership. It's such a particular aspect of Christ's person that the devil himself works to thwart it at every step possible. And so your clergy very much need your prayers. It's important, too, that we give them encouragement. Again, they're human. They have all too human doubts and fears just like everyone else. You know, generally speaking, for most of us, I think, when we know that our community has our back, is there for us, praying for us, encouraging us, it becomes much easier to bear crosses in general for each one of us here. The priest is no different. When all they hear is criticism, rebukes, corrections, just like any other person, they can all too easily fall into doubt and even despair about their own ministry. But if we lift them up, and if we encourage them when they do good, we are sharing in Christ's work. We are participating in a special way to help continue God's work, Christ's work, his priesthood. But again, I don't say this as a way to suggest even the slightest bit that we overlook or ignore the faults of our clergy, but rather that we discern which faults need to be corrected and which ones perhaps they just need prayers for. Is it a real fault, or do they just do something maybe I dislike? Is it a moral fault that perhaps I need to tell them alone about? Or is it just perhaps a quirk of theirs? Or are they abusing someone and the police need to be contacted, get involved? If we have a good head on our shoulders, it'll be very clear what needs to be done in most circumstances. I couldn't avoid the topic today. The gospel is very clear that it is all too easy for people in spiritual authority to abuse that authority. It's almost like the elephant in the room. How many countless souls are lost because of a few? I know it's not a fun topic. It's not an easy one. And I don't have any answers. The only thing that I can think of, the only thing that I'm able to, that comes to mind in prayer when I ask God about these things is that Judas himself betrayed our Lord. He who knew him firsthand, who had a personal contact with him, touched him in the flesh, saw his miracles, saw everything he did, spent years with him, and still he betrayed our Lord. And if he can do that, the rest of the priesthood isn't exempt either. I don't know about you, but the priests aren't the reason that I went to Mass when I was younger. They're not the reasons that I come to Mass now. They're not the reasons that I remain Catholic. The reason that I am a priest, the reason that I am Catholic, the reason that I am a follower of Christ is because of Christ. It's because of the Eucharist. Our Lord is always here for us, waiting in that tabernacle. He will always be there for us, even if our priests sometimes are overcome with human weaknesses. But I digress. My brothers and sisters, our clergy, though they are our spiritual leaders, are human, just like everyone else. They are not above reproach. They are not above human faults. They are not above the laity. They're human. And they are called to be servant leaders, modeled on Christ's own leadership. They're going to fail at that daily, like we all do. So we have to pray for them. We have to care for them. And sometimes we have to correct them. But it's on each of us to help them do that, to make sure that they're modeling Christ. I know that sounds like a tall order. It's like, oh, how is that fair? Like, you should be taking care of your own. We are our own. I belong to you just as all the priests do. We all belong to the church. And if it's not us that looks to our neighbor and is our brother's keeper, then who? Again, I don't have answers, but I do have Christ. God bless you.